Hello, gentlemen. It's nice to be back. We're going to be continuing with Ksubis Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis towards the bottom, and then be doing Yud Beis and Yud Aleph. We left off with the Gemara discussing various values of Ksuba, be it 200, 100, or 0, depending on the status of the woman in question. If she's in Mukaseitz, it's a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbanan, and even then, although Rav Meir seems to always hold 200, according to most opinions in the Gemara, the Rabbanan do not always hold 100, as the Mishnah Yud Aleph Amud Aleph would imply, but may sometimes hold 100 and other times hold 0, depending on whether or not the Chasam knew ahead of time what her status was at all. He didn't know that there was any suspicion of her being a Mukaseitz, in which case that may change the Halacha. Might create a situation of mekachtos, and therefore he might be not off the hook, but they may no longer be married. We continue now with the Brisa in the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, which is going to further discuss the idea, not of mukaseitz in particular, but a different idea that we saw in Mishnah when a woman is married but leaves that marriage still a basula. If perhaps her husband dies on the night of the wedding after they're already married, or a similar situation, what exactly is her status in terms of ksuba? The Brisa says as follows: Tana Rabbanan, Kansar Rishon Lashem Nesuin V'yesh La Edim Shlo Nestara. If the first one married her for the sake of Nesuin, not just Kedushin, but full marriage, V'yesh La Edim Shlo Nestara, but there are witnesses that she did not seclude herself with this man, or perhaps there was seclusion but not long enough for us to be concerned that they had relations. The second one who then marries her after that is not able to make any claim against her besulim, meaning if he makes such a claim, we say you should have realized that might be true anyway, and that was an understanding that you married her with. Why? Shari Kansarishan, because the first one already had literally entered her, had brought her in, had married her. Rashi over here says a very interesting thing. If you look at the last Rashi on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, it says Shari Kansarishan V'alavladas Shenivala. And it's upon him, sort of the onus is on the second guy to look into whether or not she was Nivala, whether or not she had Bia with the first person, which is a little bit funny, because here, there are actually Edim testifying to the fact that she did not. So, what more could he possibly do? But, whether or not there was anything more for him to actually do, by virtue of his marrying her and him being the one who's doing that, he sort of takes responsibility, and if he can't verify for 100% sure, then that's a risk that he has to take. So Rabba gleans from this the following. On the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Amar Rabba Zos Omeres Kontzo Becheskas Pesulo Benimtzis V'ulo Yesh Lach Shuba Mono. If he marries her assuming she's a Besula and then it turns out she's a Be'ula, she still gets a Ksuba of Mono 100. Rashi says Zos Omeres Dehavale Becheskas Pesulo Kontzo, because in this case that's clearly what's happening. The Samach Ha'edim, because he's going to rely on the witnesses, and he's therefore certainly assuming that she's a Besula, the Ka'amar in Yachalafsi, the Mana. And yet it says, he's not able to make any claim of Tanis Besulim, obviously he's not able to make her lose out her Ksuba. Which is Roy to an Amana from Nesuin. In other words, here, that's what she is. So, and yet he's not able to make a Tanis Besulim, so obviously, even though she's not going to get the 200 a Besula should get, because that's not her reality, but at the same time, she's not going to get zero either, she's going to get that mana which is reserved for almanos. So the Gemara responds by saying that Rava's diuk, Rava's halacha, the Rava's culling from this brisa is not absolute. Just because this brisa is true does not necessarily mean the Rava's statements, which is much broader, is true all the time. Why not? So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar,
Rashi says, Ba'alma, in general, lo olam eim l'chol les l'klal. Really, I would tell you that she gets nothing. And in the case of Kansa B'cheskes P'silvan in Zizvula, that says a Mekachtos, and she gets nothing. Hushayni ha'cha shari konsurishim. But here, where the first one married her, there's much more reason for him to be suspect. And therefore, although he certainly assumed she was a Basula, at the same time, he should have realized that there's something up here. Right? She obviously had some question, and if he can't for sure answer that, it's his responsibility to know one way or the other, and if he wasn't sure, that's sort of tough on him. So therefore, Vashi does not feel that Rabba's diuk from that brisa is conclusive. However, the Gemara responds and asks, "V'necha sheshematachta zinsa." Let him be concerned that maybe she had znus while she had already done kedushin to him. Meaning, granted, maybe she wasn't. Granted, she might not be a basula, but how is he to know that she's a bula specifically from him after he has some kind of a taina? Maybe really the Edom were right, but then she did kedushin to the second guy, and during that period, she was mizana. Rashi says something very interesting on this question. I think it's worthwhile to take a look. Which I have a change here, which I think is very worthwhile to use. On the side of my Gemara, it says, Tzarach lomar abraisa. So let's read it that way. It says, abraisa parach. It's asking on abraisa, diktoni, eina sheni yachol tzintanis psulim. On which it says, the second one is unable to make any claim. V'lomas kikinan leilav lebezin. Therefore, we don't require him to come to Bezdin if he were to discover she hadn't been a basula. And therefore it will not be discovered whether or not she had znus while she was mekudesh to him, or while she was together with her first husband. Vishema asur hilo, maybe she's asur to him. And he's never gonna get this clarified. And again, this is somewhat consistent with Rashi's Shita from the beginning of the Masechta, who discussed the reason for him to come to Bezdin at all is not simply to make a claim and then what are the ramifications of his making a claim, but rather for him to make a claim and therefore that witnesses should then hear about it and come and testify to clarify the matter. So, and the concern here is that maybe she's usher and he won't come. Rashi explains, Bishlam ahanach de la'el. There's no problem on the earlier ones. The Amran Kansa Becheskas Vesilvan and Tisbu Ula Yesh Laksuba, which was in the middle of Yid Alfam of Days, Lo Makshinan. We couldn't have a question there. Dikul and Rekha Shabbala Bezdin Ubao Eidim Shazin Sakodon Lakein. Well, maybe when he comes to Bezdin, the whole thing will be cleared up. Witnesses will come and testify and tell us exactly what happened. Aval Hacha Katani, Ein Yachalutam. But here, we're saying he's not able to make a claim. He told Kachal Yabal Bezdin, therefore he won't come. And therefore, there's more reason for us to be concerned about this possibility when he doesn't come. But who says, maybe, why shouldn't he come? Maybe there wasn't vexness while he was Mekudesh to her. While she was Mekudesh to him, I should say. Okay, so let's keep that Rashi kind of on the back burner for now. It's going to be important as we proceed towards this coming Mishnah. So the Gemara explains, so why are we not concerned? Shema tachta zinsa. So Amar Rav Sharvia, Kagon Shekide Shubal La'alter. The case is where the second guy was in the Kaddisher and then had Bia right away. V'ike de masni la'mas nisen. And some teach this whole back and forth on our Mishnah. In other words, Rashi specifically spelled out earlier that the question of v'necho shema tachta zinsa was going on our Braisa. However, according to this line of the Gemara, some people learn this Shakla V'tarya, which starts from Rabba's statement through Rav Sharvia's answer, those four steps, is going on our Mishnah. How is that? Because the Mishnah says, and the Gemara quotes it here, Besula, who's an Almana Grusha V'chalutza Min HaNesu'an, Ksubas and Mana. Her Ksuba is 100. Ve'in lahen tanas Besulim. Excuse me. And they can't claim tanas Besulim. Besula Min HaNesu'an. The Gemara wants to know how such a case happened. where she enters into the chuppah, she gets married. V'lo nivola, but her first husband does not have relations with her. Amar Rabba, zos umeres, comes because he gets b'suluvin and b'suluvin k'suvas amama. Here again, Rabba is able to make that diak. Why? Because it's a case where he married her assuming she was a besula, and then afterward he discovers, turns out that with her first husband something happened and she really is not a besula. So Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, Rabba, that's no good diak. Really, I'll tell you that in general she gets nothing. V'shayni hach, here it's different. Here there was a knisa l'chuppah, and therefore that's why he should have realized, and that's why you can't make a claim in the time of Sulam, and that's why he has to give her a mana for the ksuba. So the Gemara asks, "V'leich Hashem atachlo zinsa?" So now the question applies. So maybe he should be the second guy should be concerned that she has zinus while she was mekudesh to him. To which Rav Sharvi answers, "I'm Rav Sharvi. If you want shekidishu ba'al altar." Now, what's interesting to note is that Rashi specifically said that the Gemara had a kash on our brisa, but on the Mishnah they would not. Of v'neicha shem atachta zinsa, because in the Mishnah, excuse me, on the brisa you would not, but on that other Mishnah, not our Mishnah on Yeralf and Alf, but on the other Mishnah over there, there was tanis besulim, and therefore he would potentially come in to Beis Din and clear it up. However, our Mishnah also says ein lan tanis besulim, and therefore on our Mishnah also Rashi would agree there would potentially be a good question of shematach tazinsa. However, the Gemara here says something very interesting. Man demasni la b'risa kol shekana masnisin. The one who learns these four steps is going on our b'risa certainly would agree that they're applicable to our Mishnah. But the one who says it goes on the Mishnah would not agree that it fits on the Braisa. Why? Because in the Braisa he's able to say, I was relying on Edom. And therefore, maybe in the Braisa, even if you say Rav Ashi's rule in the Braisa, excuse me, in the Mishnah, that here it's different because Harei Nechmas Elachupa. But in the Braisa, he has Edom to rely on. So maybe there, Ashi would say, there also, she really gets nothing. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'ikad masnila, laha d'rabba v'rav Ashi v'rav sharviya masnis. And these three is really four steps as going on our Mishnah. Zoso Maris, Midiktani Masnis and Ainla Hentana Sasum, from the fact that our Mishnah writes, Ainla Hentana Sasum, Vilecha Shematakhtav Zinsa. The Gemara had asked this question. Maybe she was Rizana while she was Makudish to the second guy. Ve'amai Tani La Ainla Hentana Sasum, and therefore why is there, he's not allowed to make a claim of Tana Sasum. So Manda Mathi La Laha de Rabba Ravashi Abraisa, Kol Shekana Masnis, and the steps of Rabba and Ravashi specifically are really the key ones. Those who say it goes on a brisa certainly would agree it goes on the Mishnah. Why? The kivan de a brisa, af al gav de amru edim lo nister l'rishon, v'sheni zeh bechazkas besula kansa. Since in the brisa you had this clear, the edim clearly said it, so the second person, the second man, clearly would have assumed that she was a besula. And nevertheless, v'afilu hachi eder le'rav Ashi le'rav le'olam lo tishma kansa becheskas v'zula v'nimtis ge'ula yish l'ksuba. Why the shiny halchashari kansa rishon? So if kansa rishon is enough of a reason for him to doubt it, even though there are edim, koshikin amatnisin gloiv tichu edim. Certainly on the Mishnah where the edim did not promise him or assure him al kach about this, whether or not she was with her first husband. And it seems like the key step is really what Rav Ashi says, because Rav Ashi is differentiating between either our Mishnah and all other types of similar cases, or our Braisa and all other types of similar cases. And if the differentiation you're making is between the Braisa and all other types of similar cases, and in the Braisa there are edim, so certainly in the Mishnah where there are no edim, Rav Ashi would agree that she still gets a ksuba of a mana. In other words, since in our Braisa there are edim, it's that much more likely that the edim are right and that he should therefore, it should be considered mekachtos. And yet still, if not considered mekachtos, shari kansa rishon, So then, in that case, on the Mishnah also, where there aren't Edim, certainly it's not a Mekachtelus. However, Rashi spells out the opposite. Uman demasi lo the rabba of Ravashi amasnisen aval abraisa lo. It doesn't work on the braisa. Umasni lo the mi braisa vade shapir shramin as well as the rabba. Rabba's diuk of Zosomeres comes up as a specific and instantly Yeshak Subamana would certainly apply to the braisa if you only learned Ravashi's statement on the Mishnah. Vala lo havala Ravashi la dura shiny hachashari kansarishon. The Matsyama no Edim Samchi, because in the Brisa there's a special thing you could say I was relying on the Edim. The Kivan Diktani Ena Shini Yahulita on Tanis Bzulim. And since it says the second man is not able to claim Tanis Bzulim, Shamin Vali is also married because of the Bzulim that she gets some kind of a ksuba. In other words, if you say in the Mishnah that which it's a ksuba mana is because of the fact that she was nifted sol chuppah, and therefore the second guy should have realized maybe the b'risa is different because the b'risa has Edom to rely on, and the b'risa should be much more like a regular case of b'chaskas b'suluvan and b'lulishak subimana, and therefore in that from the b'risa Rav Ashi would tell you that Rava clearly has a very good deal, because if in the b'risa, in other words, if in the b'risa we see that even when there are Edim, so she gets a ksuba mana, so then that's an indication to us that any time, still, yeshla ksuba mana, she gets 100. Okay. Let's take a look at the top Tosfos and see where that takes us. Tosfos says, Omar Rabba Zosomeres. Nira Dahacha Garcinan Rabba. It would appear that here we should have the text Rabba, as opposed to Rava, as he'll say. Daharava, with an aleph, Ka'amar La'el, he said earlier, the Mekachtos the Gamri Mashma. That a Mekachtos implies a complete Mekachtos, wherein she would get nothing, and it's a complete mistaken sale. And the sale is undone. And if we would be goers here, the word Rava with an aleph, imkain tikshi masnisin reisha l'seifa. The hazoso meres ikalamedek nami masnisin. Because you could ask that, or not ask, but learn out that zoso meres from our Mishnah, k'darmin b'samach. As we said earlier on Yudal from Beis, where that was the whole way we knew that Rava had fallen off, had retracted his other statement, because we saw he was not beholden to the statement of Zoso Meres, rather he held that if there's a Mekachtos, that means the Gamre. And the Mekachtos completely undoes the sale. Elavada Nira da Chagaras Rabba. Here we're Goris Rabba, the Rava da Amr Lael, Mekachtos the Gamre Mashme, Yafarish Kumar Vashi. Because Rava, who says earlier, Mechatos Lagami Mashmar, who explained like Rav Ashi over here, on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, who says that really I will tell you generally she gets nothing because of Mechatos, but just in this case, it's different. Okay. Let's take a look also at the, not the next verses, but the one after that, Shiny Hacha. Chari Kansarishan. Tosa says, the Adaita de Ba'ula Nises, and he married her with the understanding that she was a Ba'ula. The Avagavde Edim Eidim Shalom Nivola. And even though witnesses testified that she was not Nivola, so really he should be able to rely on these Edim that she's still a Basula. Eino Somech Al Zeh, we don't rely on this, or he shouldn't rely on this. Me'acha Shahayin Nesuin. Once there was Nisuin, Vesavar Dilashabcha Omrim Kain. And he thinks that the praiser they're saying this, meaning it seems like we didn't really clarify, because we were a little bit unsure how was he supposed to clarify if there are witnesses testifying something, but it sounds like from this Tosfos that the second husband should be concerned the witnesses are just trying to make him like her more. But in reality, they aren't certain, or they don't have the same knowledge, or something of that sort. Because certainly, if Tosfos says L'shabcha Omrim Kain, it sounds very much like Tosfos would feel that they're only saying L'shabcha, but not because they know it's true. Because if they're doing it to praise her, but they also happen to know that it's true, then Tosfos' statement about L'shabcha Omrim Kain is somewhat irrelevant. So obviously, Tosfos is saying that these Edom were concerned. We have reason to be suspect about their motives and therefore about whether or not they're really telling the truth. Do you really know that she was a Nivala? Do you really know that there was no stira at all between her and the first husband? They were never secluded? And if we can't be certain that they're answering that question truthfully, then the second husband has reason to be suspicious. Okay, let's take a look also at the Tosfos Kigon. Rav Sharavi had given an answer where we were saying, let's be concerned. Maybe we should not let's, but we should be concerned that the woman who is now found out to be a Ba'ula, if there are Edom, especially if there are Edom, but even if not, if there was reason for him to think she was a Basula, and now he thought she's a Ba'ula, so maybe she really was a Basula and just she had Tznus while she was engaged to the second person. So Tosfos says, "Kigon shekidishu ba'al ha'altar, v'chein tzarich na'ami lahamid sha'arishon achar shekidish kanso ha'altar." And similarly, you have to establish the case with the first one after he was mekadesh her, married her right away. He did kedushin and nisuin all at the same time. Umeis miyad and then died immediately. V'edim eidim shelo zin satachtav. And Edom can testify that there was no znos while she was married to him for that short interim between kedushin and nisuin, which was maybe a couple hours or whatever. Why does Tosfos feel the need to make this the case? Because if she had znus while she was mekudesh to the first guy, then it would possibly her to kuna. And I guess Tosfos feels that we're discussing over here a case of even a kohen, where the second guy might even be a kohen. Now, what's interesting to note is that since the first person, the first man, never got around to finding out if she was a basula or not, certainly didn't, wasn't around enough to make a claim. He died shortly after, even if we ourselves are suspicious that maybe they really were together, but he died shortly after that before anything else happened. So, we really, not only are we concerned about Nechla Shematach Zinsa by the second guy, we should also be concerned that she was Heznos during the Kedushin to the first guy, because of the fact that we never really have any verification that she didn't. Ordinarily, that sort of thing gets verified when the first husband marries her, but that marriage was never carried through to fruition. If so, we have reason to doubt whether or not she was pure, or whether she did the right thing during both engagements. And so this is the saying, if we're going to do it to verify during the second engagement, say Kigon Shekidishu Ba'al Ha'altar, we have to say it during the first engagement, because even though her having Znus during the first engagement would not really affect her marriage to the second guy directly, if he was a Kohen, it would put her in a status of being Asher to Kahuna, and of course if he's a Kohen, he then can marry her, even if she has Znus while she was engaged to the original husband. So just an interesting point Tosfos is pointing out, that there's really no way for us to know if we have concern about Necha Shema Tachta Zinsa. We could therefore be concerned that she was also Tachta Zinsa by the first guy, which if he's a Kohen makes a difference. Okay, let's move on and see the next mission over here. The mission says, Ha'okal Eitzel Chomev B'Yehuda Shelo B'Edim. A man who's engaged to a girl and eats over at his father-in-law's house in Yehuda, which is a section of Eretz Yisrael, Shelo Be'edim, without witnesses there, and we're going to see in Rashi, I think, I don't know if Rashi spells it out, but the idea is that these witnesses would sort of verify that he did not do anything with his Kala. Eino Yochel Liton Tanis Besulim. If there were no Edim there, he's therefore not able to make any claim of Tanis Besulim with Neshim Siachedimah, because at that point we're concerned about Yichud having been done between the Chasim and the Kala. Okay, no Rashi on the Mishnah, so let's proceed to the Gemara. The basic idea here is that the Chosin and Kala were spending time together during their engagement. We have reason to be suspicious they may have done something together, and therefore if he comes into the claim of Tanis Basulim after they're married, and we know, we the Bezdin know, that he used to eat over at his father-in-law's house all the time. Well, now we have reason to be suspicious. Maybe something happened. Maybe there was yichud and something happened, and therefore his claim is invalid. So the Gemara says, "Midiktami ha'ochel," from the fact that it wrote the word ha'ochel, the one who eats by his father-in-law in Yehuda, the chal deikad dochta b'Yehuda nami d'lo'achel, implies that there are places in Yehuda where the son-in-law would not eat over at the father-in-law. In other words, it sounds as if, the way the Mishnah words it, one who eats by his father-in-law in Yehuda, it implies that not everybody who was in Yehuda automatically ate over. Because if that was the case, the halacha would simply be that Yehuda shall obey them in a yachod and tanis pesulim. Sounds like a reasonable diyuk. So Omar Abaye says, Shami, we see from this, Yehuda nami mekomos mekomos yesh. In Yehuda also, there were various places within that section of Eretz Yisrael. Some places where they would eat over and be miyachet the chazan with the kal, and some places not. Kedetanya. As we learned in a brayso, Omar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, Be Yehuda berishono hayu miyachet the nesach chazan yezak kal, sha'achas kodam knizat nechoba. In Yehuda, they would be miyachet the chazan with the kal for 1 hour before they entered into the chuppah, k'dei shehi livo gaspa, in order that his heart should be infatuated with it, that he should become even more attractive. And in Galil, in the north of Eretz Yisrael, they would not do this. And another minhag they had in Yehuda was that in the beginning they would establish assistants. One for the chasim, one for the kala. Kedem shamish as a chasim, as a kala, b'shaskin as a chuppah, in order to assist the chasim and kala during their entering into the chuppah. Uvagal lo hayozinkin, gal they similarly do not do this minhag. Yehuda berishan hayushishbin in yishenim, b'beis shachasim to the kala yishenim ba. And Yehuda, in the beginning, they would have these shishbin sleeping in the same place that the chasim and kala are sleeping. Uvagal lo hayozinkin. And again, in the gal they did not do this. You almost wonder if all these minhagim are tied together. Perhaps we'll see what the Gemara and Rashi have to say about it. The kol shalonah k'minag hazeh, and anybody who did not do like this minag, which would be the Galil people, eino yachlot in tanis pesulim. He's not able to make such a claim of tanis pesulim. So ahai, what is this going on? So before we proceed, let's take a look at what Rashi has to say about this little piece of Gemara we read, and then we'll analyze the Brayos as the Gemara does. Rashi says, "Mekomos mekomos yesh shechalukin b'minhagim," that they were split in their customs. The nafkamina dehecha shelo lo nihigi liyichud yachol itam, and the nafkamina would be that wherever they were not noheg with yichud, wherever they didn't do this yichud before the wedding, then you would be able to make a claim of tanis pesulim. Kedetani the mekomos mekomos yesh, as we learned in the Brayos, the idea of mekomos mekomos within Yehuda. And then the Rashi says, "L'mashamish, v'fashre shalomashmish b'maseyim, b'oso alayla to check after what they're doing on that night. Shalom yikalku zeh es zeh b'maseyim, that they should not literally ruin each other in their actions. The tarmis with trickery, shalom yira zeh dam b'sulim, that the chasam will not see dam b'sulim. V'yovad, and the cloth will then get lost. V'zulo tavi mapa." Or the blood will get lost, and this one did not bring a cloth, which doesn't have any drops of blood on it. In other words, both the chasin and the kala could pull some kind of trick, right? The chasin could claim that there was no blood and then make sure that the cloth gets lost, so to speak, he gets rid of it. And the kala could bring a cloth which already has some drops of blood on it, so that if he makes a claim, she can hold it up and say, look, this is the cloth from the wedding night and it has blood on it, even though she did not even bleed. Rashi continues, "Umakum shenagul mishamish," and a place where they were noeg to have these shishpinim who were checking after them, "lo nagul yichud liyachid," they weren't noeg to do yichud, "umakum shenagul liyachid," that if you were going to have these shishpinim in a place where you had the minog to do yichud, "my mishmash boy," what mishmash would be required? "Hare ein sham tanis pesulim," there's no tanis pesulim anyways, because as we saw before, yichud negates tanis pesulim. "Alma b'Yehuda mekomos mekomos yesh," therefore see in Yehuda there are various places, because in Yehuda some had the minog to do yichud, and at the same time some in Yehuda had the minog to do shishpinim, but those two minhagim don't almost can't go together. right? So just the opposite of what we were potentially suggesting earlier. Those minhagim cannot go together because in Yehuda, because if you're doing Yichud, then there's already concern that they were together, and therefore the Shishpinim are not going to be able to help. There's no time to seal anyway. Or there's no need for the Shishpinim. And the Gemara spells this out, ahai. Which is this going on? If you want to tell me it's going on the Reisha, kol shen nahag mibayle. It should say kol shen nahag. In other words, this line of kol shelo nahag kaminah gazeh ene yachol etan tainas bezulim, if it's referring to that Reisha of doing the minhag of Yichud, it's just that anybody who did do this minhag cannot do Tanis Vesulim. Not anybody who didn't. Ela Seifa. Rather, it's going on the Seifa, Kol Shalom Mushmash Mibayle. So then, if it's referring to the Seifa, which is talking about whether or not there's going to be Shishpinin being Mishamshin, so then it's like Kol Shalom Mushmash, not Kol Shalom Nohag. So Abaye answers, Ola my Reisha, Tani Kol Shalom Nohag. Really, it's going in the ratio, and in fact, we'll have to make an amendment, an addition to the brisa that it should say kol shenohag, not kol shelonohag. Amalei Rava. Rava said back, "Vol kol shelonohag katani," but the brisa in our text that we have handed down to us says kol shelonohag, so you can't just go changing gears all willy nilly. Selam Rava, rather Rava says back, "Hachi kol mar kol shelonohag minog galil begalil." Anybody who's not knowing the minhag of Galil in Galil, but rather the minhag of Yehuda in Galil, ain't no yachol in Tanis Pesulim. And presumably the minhag of Yehuda that they're referring to, which they were knowing in Galil, is the minhag of Yichud, which again negates Tanis Pesulim. As Rashi says, skipping down a little bit in Rashi to the fourth from the bottom line in Rashi, Ela Amar Rava, Hi Kol Shalom Nohag Aminog De Galokai. It's referring to the minhag of the Galo, the town of the Brisa, with a Galo Yos and Kidna. In the Galo, they didn't do this. Valakai, and it's going on that. Kol Shalom Nohag Aminog Azeb, the Galo, anybody who does not know like this minhag in the Galo, Ela Nasiachet, Kaminog Shav Yehuda, that they did Yichud, like the minhag was in Yehuda, in the Yakut, and is now not able to make a claim of Tainas Pesulim. Okay, and the Ravashi gives another answer. Ravashi Amar Lo Olam HaSeifa. Really, it's going on the Seifa. Vatani Kol Shalom Mushmush. And he says you'll change the gears to be Kol Shalom Mushmush. So we, of the three attempted answers, each one has a Amora who vouched for it. However, two of those Amorim have to actually make an amendment to the Lashon of the Brisa, which is of course an answer that we always consider somewhat dochek. Okay, we were kind of early. I think it might make sense to continue. Actually, I take it back. Upon second thought, the next piece of the Gemara is a little bit connected, and the Gemara on the Mishnah that we're about to do is sort of laying the groundwork for several Mishnahs to come after it, in which the husband and wife are going to have claims against each other. Disputing whether or not the ksuba should be paid out or not, and discussing what exactly is the basis for ksuba in the first place, why it is that we need to have ksuba at all. So I think we'll hold it here for now, and have a good week, everyone.